B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I put some skincare products that I use in it, some makeup, some bath bombs.
Mark would make this a present.
They would make a nice present. That's what I went with for my wife for Valentine's Day. I went with some the bathing materials. So there you go.
Really?
Yeah.
What scent did you go with?
Honestly, you know what? Not to. This is probably going to get an awe, but the one that reminded me of our wedding.
They have a whiskey scented bath salt.
No, if you must know, Bob, it reminded me of the flowers in Siena, Italy, where we got married.
Oh,
how about that?
I'm not going to give you an awe.
Folks, it's always a great time every single year. Flyers Wives Carnival, 43rd annual, benefiting Flyers charities. You guys do such a great job. Madison, Gina. Madison, was it fun? The radio hit first time?
Yeah, I'll be back next year.
There we go. Gina, always great seeing you. You do a phenomenal job. I'll see you guys on Sunday. I'll be the mole run in the dunk tank.
Can't wait.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Madison stopping by and Gina as well. Madison is with Ivan Provorov and Gina with Shane Gostisbehere. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 975 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. We've been batting around two things most of the morning today. Two things most of the morning. One has been the 76ers with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. The other has been what's going to happen with the Phillies this year. What exactly is the excitement level in this season with how people are perceiving the Phillies to be? Everybody reported to spring training. You have Bryce Harper talking about how he's going to have a good year, and Andrew McCutchen talking about how he wants to be ready come opening day. So many different things people have gotten into. Gene Segura losing weight, dropping whiskey, no longer having whiskey anymore. So many things. And I still think that this Phillies team has made improvements from last year. I think that this will be a team that is able to, if in my most optimistic, I think this team can at least flirt with 90 wins on the season. If I'm making a prediction, I'm saying it's an 85 to 90 win type of team. I think they have made improvements this year. And honestly, I just can't wait for the season to start because I do love myself some baseball. Mm-hmm. And to give us some more insight on this and more, from Clearwater, Florida, our friend from NBC Sports Philadelphia, John Clark, joins us right now. John, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's everybody in Philly today?
Everybody in Philly's feeling pretty good, my man. I don't think they're feeling as good as you. Ben, this hasn't been a secret. The little Costa Rica trip and then right to Clearwater, Florida. Is that how it happened?
It's kind of crazy. I was at the Super Bowl for a week, then Costa Rica for a week, and now Clearwater for a week. But hey, look, working really hard down here in Clearwater and then working hard at the Super Bowl, so I know it's a lot of sun, but there's a lot of work involved.
Oh, I know. And if anyone's hustling, John, I know that it's you, my friend. Now, you're there in Clearwater, and the big talk from yesterday was the first thing out of the gate was their first full squad workout. Gene Segura is at third place, or at third base. What's going on there?
Well, I asked Joe Girardi about that because I think it'll wind up being Segura at second because he's never played third, and then Scott Kingery at third, and Joe Girardi said they wanted to see Gene at third because they know he can play second. He's played second before. They wanted to give him a look at third. So I don't think it's any indication that Gene Segura is going to play third base. It was just to get him a look.
Okay.
So Joe Girardi said they're going to figure this all out. But my guess is that you'll see Gene Segura at second and Kingery at third because Segura is most comfortable at second.
Mm-hmm. And, obviously so is Scott Kingery, but they have Gene Segura here for a little bit. Now, I'm of the school that if you could play third, if you could play shortstop, you could play pretty much anywhere you want on the infield. Any indication how Gene Segura fared in his first exposure to third base?
Well, you know, when they called him and told him they were making the deal, signing D.D. Gregorius, they told him to take grounders at second and third. And look, he has said to us yesterday that never played third. He did take some grounders in the off season, but second, can kind of help your body. It can help you rest. You can kind of lay back on some balls. You don't have to get the ball out so quick because obviously it's a shorter distance to first base. So it really sounds to me like he wants to play second base. Third base, it looked like a couple times he struggled to throw the ball from third to first. A couple were in the dirt, but that's natural. I mean, that's the furthest you're going to throw the ball across the diamond. So I think it's a learning experience for him.
Speaking with John Clark, NBC Sports Philadelphia from Clearwater, Florida. John, the other part of this is that you have covered, I mean, just in recent memory, I mean, you've covered a lot of different spring trainings. Charlie Manuels, Ryan Sandberg, Pete McCannon, Gabe Kapler, and now Joe Girardi. Do you sense a different atmosphere with Joe Girardi? Is it like anything else, or is it completely different?
I got to be honest with you, Mark. Being down in the sun of Florida, I can see why every single team thinks they have a shot. You know, honestly, because you're out in the sun. It's a break from the winter, and there's hope. And you try to find hope everywhere. And that's what everybody does at spring training. Oh, we got a shot this year. Now, with this camp, look, I mean, I thought guys were, you know, be bold with Gabe Kapler. I thought that they were into it. I don't think anybody had a real big problem with Gabe Kapler. Some of the players did. So it's really hard for me to say that it's any different than other spring trainings. But I would say there was a lot more energy yesterday in the first full squad workout when you have all the position players there. And Joe Girardi made it a little fun when they were doing base running drills. He had them do their fun home run trots. And, you know, so he's trying to keep it loose and have fun. And Joe Girardi's authentic. That's the one thing. He is so authentic. He's comfortable in his own skin. He builds relationships. He's a tremendous family man with his kids. So I think that people buy into Joe Girardi right away because he's done this in the biggest market. He's won World Series as a player and manager, and he's authentic. So I think that he has cachet coming in, you know, where Gabe Kapler didn't.
Real quick, players were practicing their home run trots around the bases?
Yeah. I mean, you got to make spring training fun.
Sure.
It's you're down here for a while and it's tedious work sometimes. You're going back to fundamentals and you got to make it fun.
John, we've seen pictures of Kingery, Realmuto. They're all swolled up, looking good. But I want to know if talking to anybody down there and what you've seen so far since you've been down there, what's the word on Andrew McCutchen? Does it seem like he's really okay, ready to go? Or do you kind of get the feeling, well, they might be rushing it a little bit?
Well, and I think that's probably the biggest question because you saw how they started last year. I think Gene Segura was hitting like 350 or something. And Andrew McCutchen and Segura were like one of the top 1-2 punches atop the lineup. And the team was 500 with Andrew McCutchen. Then he goes down and it completely changed the lineup. Yeah. Gene Segura told us that he really was down the rest of the year. And he was feeling bad because of what happened. So I think that's the biggest key is having a healthy Andrew McCutchen. And right now he has no limitations, but he can't do everything 100%. Some things he has to back off a little bit, and his mind is jumping into everything, but his body can't follow sometimes. He's only 8 months out of surgery, and if you look back at Carson Wentz, Carson was 9.5 months when he actually played. So right now, Andrew says the plan is for him to be ready for opening day. Don't know if he can play every single game this year. I would doubt it, but I would say it's looking positive, and he's where he needs to be. But there's certain little things that he has to back off on.
Yeah, and then, John, if you don't, and Jamie Lynch made a great point this morning about how much McCutchen meant, just as you did. But what is their backup plan when he doesn't play? And God forbid, should there be a reoccurrence of something? He's not going to go, I don't think, the 150 games that you slot him to be. But what's your backup plan as far as a leadoff hitter?
Well, so you're looking at some of the things they had to do last year. You've got Jay Bruce, who can play left field. He's a lefty bat. You've got Adam Haseley in center field. He can play left sometimes. Then maybe Kingery would have to move out to center. Roman Quinn can play some center. And, look, I like Roman Quinn as a player. I really do. He provides such great energy with his speed. He just has to stay healthy,
yeah.
And he has to make contact and not strike out and hit better for average. But I do think that they have plans in place, you know, with Jay Bruce, Haseley, Kingery, and Roman Quinn out in the outfield.
Who's your leadoff hitter, though, if McCutchen is out of the lineup?
It's a good question. I mean, maybe Roman Quinn. If he can get on base, he can steal a bag or two. He can disrupt on the base pass. So I think that's a possibility. Yeah.
Speaking with John Clark, NBC Sports Philadelphia. John, I want to switch gears with you real quick. Were you able to follow into the All-Star game on Sunday night?
You know what? I followed some of your tweets. I followed a lot of tweets from everybody else. I saw the second half. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, the fourth quarter especially was pretty great. The only thing that really rubbed me the wrong way over All-Star weekend was Charles Barkley kind of laughing at the idea of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and the idea of them not being, you know, besties, if you will. And when Charles was laughing at it and made the joke, when the comment was made about, oh, and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons will go against each other this weekend, and Charles chimed in with, yeah, it's not going to be that different from the regular season, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I am not one that is rooting for this to fall apart. I'm one that's rooting for this to be successful.
Yeah, I think we all are. I mean, there were a couple teammates that Charles didn't like or get along with, right? Charles Shackleford, some other guys.
But, sure.
Yeah, I think the Sixers' whole season and future rests on this. And they don't have to be best friends off the court. They don't hang out together. But you need to develop better chemistry on the court. And look, I think hopefully maybe this was a good time for them to get some time together. There were some festivities that they were at. They sent out a lot of pictures together on social media afterwards. So let's hope that they realize this. And there's a better second half coming up here.
Mm. All right, John. Always great catch
you
up.
You don't sound convinced.
No, I think their best basketball is still in front of them. And I still think I think a couple of weeks ago we were saying first round exit, some people. I still think that they have a great chance at Eastern Conference Finals. I think they have a shot at the final. They figure this out, they can take care of business. If JoJo and Ben are playing motivated basketball, then I think we're taking a couple of steps forward. And Josh Richardson is healthy now. So I'm more optimistic than I think most when it comes to the Sixers team. Real quick, just as far as the Phillies go again, what's the plan for today? Back to workouts, what's going on?
Yeah, another full squad workout today. And I think this lineup can be really, really, really good if Andrew McCutchen is healthy and Reese Hoskins with his new setup with the hands being lower. If he can get back to who he was, I think this lineup can be potent. It's all going to come down to that starting pitching 3-4-5. Can they have stability there? And of course the bullpen.
Absolutely. John Clark, NBC Sports Philadelphia. There is no better social media follow in Philadelphia media than John Clark. I can tell you that right now. Yeah, you're the man. John, thanks so much, brother. I appreciate it.
Hey guys.
All right, enjoy the rest of Clearwater, Florida. I think John needs an assignment to like Alaska. After this run, after spring training.
I watched CBS Sunday Morning. Apparently it's 70 degrees in Antarctica.
What?
Yeah.
They just had a real, real horrible cold front, didn't they, Alaska?
It was record setting, minus 50 degrees daily. Yeah.
Oh, I'll look it up.
I've been to Alaska. It's beautiful.
Have you?
I the thought of living there is, whew, that's something else entirely.
For whatever reason, I sat next to a bunch of people that lived in Alaska. Like my first season traveling with Sunday Night Football. Uh-huh. Like everyone was from Alaska. Maybe because we had a bunch of Seattle games.
Yeah.
And they're just talking about how they lived there for 20 years and were ready to get the hell out.
Yeah. I would imagine so.
I guess there's a cap on how long you can live in Alaska. But nonetheless, it's an interesting question you do bring up, Bob, is who is the guy after Andrew McCutchen?
There's not a lot there. It's probably, John's right. It's probably going to have to be Roman Quinn by default.
Roman Quinn. And then you go, okay, well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I'm talking about a 33-year-old guy getting injured. Now I'm looking at Roman Quinn getting injured.
What, a 27-year-old guy getting injured?
Yeah, Roman Quinn's my fallback plan for the guy that's injured?
There's
that's injured.
Nobody that's prototypical as a leadoff hitter outside of him.
I mean, my option.
And I don't want to put Bryce there.
Oh, no, I knew why.
But on base-wise, it could make sense.
Well, then if you're talking on base, Reese Hoskins would be your leadoff guy.
Well, if he returns.
Sure.
The whole season hinges on him.
But again, if you also look at on base percentage, the guy you don't want in that spot is Scott Kingery, but he also might be one of the better suited guys for that spot. I mean, Adam Haseley, another center fielder that can run a little bit, would he be the guy to be your leadoff hitter all of a sudden? I mean, if you want to champion
put
the cause.
A lot on him.
Well, yeah, but if you want to champion the cause of the Braves, for instance, and say that you could put anybody up there in the leadoff spot, despite them being younger, then yeah, have at it. And Adam Haseley would certainly fit that bill as a guy that is younger, and you'd be putting a lot on him. Hey, let him go. Release him. Yeah. That kind of thing. I'm not saying that's what I want, but yeah. I'm looking at the options here. behind Andrew McCutchen if you were to lose him again as a leadoff hitter. Because one thing you could say about Cesar Hernandez, the guy got on base a little bit.
Yeah, and that really bothers me about management. And Jamie, I know how much you've been on management this offseason. Like a little thing like that, how could you not, after seeing the wheels fall off when McCutchen gets hurt last year, how could you not at least go out and get yourself a sort of established backup leadoff hitter?
I thought they were going to bring in a veteran outfielder of some sort to fill that role, but I guess they believe in the guys they got. I don't know. I mean, you're right.
It's like proven well for them, you know, recently. Yeah, it's
going to be probably a Haseley or Quinn. So stay healthy, Andrew.
So it's one thing to bank on injuries and to say, okay, well, this guy's older. You know, this guy, you know, you got to have a back. Like, regardless of who gets injured, you have to have somebody like decent to be a backup. That's called depth.
Yeah. Kevin Service just tweeted and said, McCutchen tore his ACL and Roman Quinn probably missed more time than him.
Wow. See, that's the thing. Your next best option is another guy that's always injured.
Yeah.
And what's with it with Quinn? What are the injuries?
He is the definition of injury prone.
He's just Mr. Glass.
I remember when he walked off the field against the Mets in New York, and I remember thinking, like, I wasn't even mad anymore. I just, like, wanted to hug him.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
Like, does he have an iron deficiency? What's the deal?
Yeah,
give him something. I don't know.
Yeah,
that was on a stolen base, right?
That was on a stolen base.
Yeah. I can still see him walking down the clubhouse steps being like, are you kidding me? I mean, can you imagine being that often injured?
Yeah.
That's got to be hard.
Because
horrible.
He shows you flashes of potentially...
of a talented player.
Yeah, of giving you something and then just can't stay
on. No, you can't stay on the field. So if you're fail safe, if your contingency plan for Andrew McCutchen is another guy who's oft injured, then what do you really have? Like, who have you really prepared to be your backup? Hey, look, before we even get to backup, you talk about the rotation. You talk about the guys after Zach Wheeler are huge question marks. And Bob, I know Zach Wheeler is still very much a question mark to you in general.
Yeah.
But Jake Arrieta is now your number three. I'm at least happy that he's bumped back a spot in the rotation. But after that, it's Velasquez, it's Eflin, and it's whoever else. Cole Irvin.
Pavetta.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy that's going to step up and help you out?
Good question. I don't know. I mean, what do you want from Jake Pavetta? I mean, is there really? He came out and said he's healthy this year for the first time in 2 years. Can he get you 10 wins?
Mike on Twitch is telling us, what about Mickey Moniak as a leadoff hitter?
Mickey's all swolled up, too.
He's re-swolled up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think we see Mickey this year.
And it wouldn't surprise me.
If you did, I think it would be serious injury related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so.
I think he needs another year of season.
And what are we getting to right now? We're getting to that serious injury. If we're talking about Andrew McCutchen, and then we're talking about Roman Quinn, who else is going to play center field for you? Or outfield for you? Adam Haseley?
Jay Bruce.
Jay Bruce, but can he play every day?
Mm-hmm. He couldn't last year.
Yeah, no, that's the thing.
They brought him here to do so. He played. He had a really good, about 20-game stretch?
Mm-hmm.
And then he got hurt.
Like, it wouldn't, I don't know. I think the first name that we all want to see out of the minors, the first guy up, I think we all want to see Alec Bohm.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't want to see a power-hitting third baseman? And then after that, you want to see Spencer Howard. Now, if you really, the holding out hope, I'm willing to say that holding out hope means that you're banking on a guy like Rhys Hoskins to hit more than 230. Like, the guy hit 226 last year. From start to finish, when it was all said and done, you can talk about what he did in the second half of the season or the first half of the season and his splits. Forget about it. Bottom line is that Rhys Hoskins was a sub-230 hitter last year, and for the vast majority of the season, he was your cleanup hitter. If you're the cleanup hitter, you should be hitting more than 229. I know his on-base percentage was good, but throw that out the window when you're talking about a guy who is supposed to be driving in the runs. You're not doing that with walks. You're doing that with home runs. You're doing that with extra base hits. Mm-hmm. You're doing that by hitting the baseball, and he didn't do that last year. So the holdout hope people are the people that will say, oh, well, there's no way Rhys is going to hit 229 again or 226 is what he actually hit last year. And, yeah, I don't think he will either, but that doesn't also mean that he's going to hit 280. With a 380 on base percentage and 30 plus home runs, I can't bank on that either.
Mark Preston just tweeted in this guy, Will Garlick, that he just got from the Dodgers, could potentially slide into that role.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you my buddy's theory on Nick Martini, the guy that they traded for Garlick?
No, what?
My buddy Brian Hicks is convinced. He's like, that's the best witness protection name I've ever heard, Nick Martini. Now he gets traded before we actually get to see him. I don't think this guy even exists.
So witness protection.
Nick Martini.
Never heard of him.
Gene Segura also gave him up to lose weight. So that's good right there. Let's jump up to our boy Mitch and East Windsor. Mitchie Poo, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
Good, man. Good.
I hear y'all are not kissing in public. I don't like it either. I call it the William Palmer Janie theory. Yeah. I don't say it before your time.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, kissing in public? Who said, anything about kissing in public, Mitch?
But then you show you were like you want to admonish you had your wife in timeout or something like that.
No,
that's when she grabs his ass.
I kiss my wife in public. I don't care. I don't like when she does the old butt tap in public. When she gives me a little of the good hustle.
I know. I just didn't want to say it like that. It's okay. I just kidding.
Okay.
You remember that show, Brian? You remember that show with Janie? I mean, who could say no to Janie? I mean, Palmer was always that.
Fair
Anywho,
point, Mitch.
Oh, I thrive on it, Mitch.
Yeah, right.
Bob, you remember that show? A young Mark, he's a young lad here. Young dad. First with the Slayers, any chance they're going after Chris Bryant? Any chance? I mean,
No, I hear you, Mitch. Thanks for the call, man. That was more of a roller coaster than Mitch usually is.
Yeah, Mitch was.
And I love that guy.
Couldn't find where he was going.
I love Mitch.
Yeah, we all
that was a little
Mitch.
Off the rails more than usual.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But I will say that as far as Chris Bryant goes, Bryce had an opportunity to really say, oh, you know, I love it. You know, yeah, he wants a player like Chris Bryant. Mm. And technically right now, he's still Cubs, I hate to use this word, but property. Mm. So, like, tampering is afoot. Yeah, it's still possible.
It's frowned upon.
Yeah, you get fined possibly. But, although the Astros can cheat and no player gets punished, so who
exactly,
knows what it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
know, it's like Jadeveon Clowney can slam his helmet into a quarterback. Everyone's fine with it. But it's just the same thing. But I'm not going to let it go. But when you think about Chris Bryant, Bryce Harper had an opportunity to kind of champion that cause a little further. And, like, I would have expected him to toe the line at least. He didn't even do that. He was just like, yeah, well, you know, you'd like to have a player like Chris Bryant who can hit 30 home runs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he just kind of...
And you want to lean on the farm system.
Yeah.
So, hey, look at this doll I brought, though. It's stuffed phonetic.
But there's something to be said.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for the way Bryce Harper answered the question. And it was great because he talked about the future as a guy who signed a 13-year contract should.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times, a veteran player will come to a new city and he'll say, yeah, damn it, I'm here to win now. Let's win. What do I care about the farm system? Bryce Harper's like, no, I got to win here for a long period of time.
Mm.
And maybe when it gets to the back end of my deal, I'll be waiting on a guy like Alec Boehm, or I'll be leaning on a guy like Alec Boehm or Spencer Howard to be carrying me while I'm still on this team. I mean, Bryce Harper's going to be still very much in his prime by the time Alec Boehm and Spencer Howard are really helping this ball club. Well, we hope they will be. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Wide open board for if you want to get in the final two segments. 610-632-0975 if you want to do that. Coming up, we'll let you hear the exact quote from Charles Barkley and how it played out over the weekend. Because I just feel like it's something that, I hate to say it, but national people seem to be rooting for two reasons. One, they're rooting for the demise of the Sixers because they want to be right about how the process was wrong to do. And the other is just because they hate Philadelphia. Bottom line. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 9:23.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Outside influences. Look, I'm worried enough about the inside influences of the Sixers. Like, I don't need the outside.
We got enough going on here. We don't need any of you outside
like,
people.
Like, in all seriousness, like, the outside drama is not what... Like, Joel Embiid gives me just enough drama. I'm good after that. I'm fine. But on the court is what I'm concerned about more. And I would like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons to play together for a long time in Philadelphia because I believe that they will eventually breed a championship or two here in Philly. I think they have that type of potential.
You scared me there for a minute.
Why?
You said they were going to breed.
They're going to make championships happen.
And then you had a little pause there.
It's a traumatic effect.
Okay.
But like, I am optimistic about what their future can bring to Philadelphia. I think most people should be. So I don't need the outside influences trying to break this up and trying to wish evil upon and put the bad thoughts in our heads about these two not playing together. Now, Joel Embiid, Friday night, he addressed it and said that he thought it was BS when people said we can't play together. All right, good for you. All right, this is good stuff. You see how they play in the game. It's all great. But before the game, when they're doing a little photo opportunity here, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they're standing next to each other. They're posing for a photo. And, even afterwards, Joel Embiid posted a photo on Instagram shortly after that was there. And it just says, my brother, hashtag all-star.
Yeah.
And it's him and Ben Simmons just posing for that photo. All right, fine. Here's Charles Barkley before the game in what really annoyed me going into it. Here's our good friend Charles Barkley.
Teammates during the regular season will go against each other in this one, Joel Embiid and
that's kind of like the regular Simmons. Season too.
And then that's uncalled for.
What the hell? Like, that doesn't need to be said. I'm not the biggest Ernie Johnson fan in the world, but I'm on Ernie Johnson's side on this one. Like, they don't need to say that. Because it's
why don't you like him?
World Series TBS. Hi, I'm Ernie Johnson. Jeez. All right, give the trophy to Charlie.
I like EJ. Wow. Yeah, I like EJ a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Down on Ernie Johnson?
It's just that one stupid thing that I was just like, just give the trophy to Charlie. We don't need you. You're good. Seriously, I'm not even being, I'm telling you.
I believe you.
Whenever I see Ernie Johnson, I'm always like, just give the trophy to Charlie.
It's from Philadelphia.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
It was like, hello, I'm Ernie Johnson. And then he paused. Damn. Like we were supposed to applaud. And then he's just like, all right, well, I'll give the trophy to Charlie. Like, yeah, give the trophy to Charlie. But anyway, no, the NBA on the NBA on TNT is a great program. They do a great job pre-post, intermission, all that stuff.
Yes.
Halftime. Great stuff. Awesome. This is one particular thing with Ernie Johnson. I was like, just give the trophy to Charlie. But I'm with Ernie Johnson right there. That is uncalled for. That sounds like you're rooting for the demise of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Oh, they don't get along. Why are you fanning the flame of the people that want to be on the hate train? Don't be on the hate train. We already got one train out there right now with Didi Gregorius out there, the DD Choo Choo we talked about. You don't need to do this with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. It's something that I think the national media is rooting for the demise of for two reasons. One, the demise is always, I mean, if it bleeds, it leads, right, Bob?
Right.
And this would be a bleeding scenario. And the other is because everyone else in the country want the Sixers to fail because this is how they acquired acquired this talent with the process. No one's rooting for this but us. In Philadelphia. And Charles fanning that flame throughout the country would only hurt the Sixers' chances of these guys staying together. There's no positive there.
Yeah, and what has gone on this year? What has gone on that Barkley would do that?
Lazy narratives being pushed by national people.
Well, yeah, I know, which I thought he was above. So did I.
I put a tweet out and was like, you know, I expected better from Charles. And people were calling me soft, that it's just a joke. We take things too seriously now.
Well,
and I was just like, well, but Charles could easily find out if he wanted to the real problems, issues, whatever. But he didn't. He took the lazy narrative that's out there that they don't like each other.
And as I said to you guys last week, I had a national person text me and say, I didn't know that Embiid and Simmons hated each other as much as they do. And I just went back and said, well, easy on that.
It finally happened. I've been saying it all last week that I Charles could do no wrong. Charles did wrong.
But what if they don't?
What if they don't
like? Who care?
What if they don't like each other?
And I don't think they're best of friends. And, you know, I was, you know, a part of that for a few years. That's okay.
Because I personally don't care.
And I don't think either do they. And I don't think either do people in the organization. I said this to Jamie when we were off air early today. If I'm Ben Simmons and it's game 7 and there's 10 seconds to go in the game and I'm dribbling down the floor and I see a streaking Joel Embiid open, am I going to be, No, I don't like you.
Yeah.
And
right.
not pass the ball?
No.
No.
That's not happening.
Yeah, it's not going to affect play. Really,
and here's the thing.
Yeah.
Nothing that's happened on the court has been affected by their quote-unquote great or awful relationship.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Has something stuck out to you like, oh, wow, yeah, these guys hate each other? No, but here's where it bothers me from the national perspective is I don't want those voices in their head. I don't want that idea in their head that you could be better without the other person. I don't want people to start to get that conversation going and get that thought process started in their head. Because that's already started as well. And if they hate each other, oh, they're not getting along, well, then will they start to point fingers when they don't have success? Is that what's next? Like, I don't want that narrative being driven by someone like Charles Barkley, who is seen throughout the country as a credible Philadelphia ambassador or guy that will have an opinion about it at Philadelphia. And they go, oh, Charles thinks that that's got to be the way it is. Mm. And I just think it's lazy and stupid, quite frankly. Yeah. Matt Norwood, what's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, buddy.
So I want to go back to the outfielder thing you guys were talking about before. So I have a kid that I went to school with. When I grew up with him. We grew up down in Cape May County, and he just got signed to the Phillies farm team this year. So I'm kind of pulling for him to have a hot year. He's already got a ring with the Cubs, so maybe the magic will come with him.
Who's this?
Scherzer?
Matt Caesar, SCD.
Oh, yeah,
Matt
Caesar. Okay. Going up. All right, yeah.
Wait, he's with the Phils now?
He signed a minor league contract with the Phils.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
That's great.
He saved a few kids' lives with his bone marrow, and I'm kind of pulling for him to have a good rest of his career with the Phillies because he's a good dude.
How old is he now?
He's a couple years younger than me, so 30.
30, okay. All right. That's great, man. Yeah, no, we're all rooting for him, man. That'd be great.
Yeah. I just want to throw that out there. Thanks, boys.
You got it.
Good enough, Matt. Appreciate it, brother. Oh, Scott in Barrington. What's up there, Scotty?
Yo, let me pick up these earbuds, fellas.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother Mark, what's going on? Brother Trey, morning crew. What's happening?
Yo, what's happening?
Long time, man. What's going on? Enjoy listening to you guys. Couple quick thing with the Sixers. The thing with this Embiid thing, I mean, God rest his soul, Cement Kobe and Shaq didn't have a thing, and then they got along. That's the bottom line. So hopefully these two young guys can find a way, to get along. I haven't seen anything like you were saying, Brother Mark. I mean, when Embiid's, got into little scuffles, you saw Simmons, I got your back. He went out there a couple. In fact, the Towns thing, you saw Ben Simmons actually, scuffling too. So hopefully they can work it out like Shaq and, Kobe did. And last but not least, fellas, again, love you guys. Enjoy listening to you. I won't stay away so long next time.
Yeah, man.
With the Phillies, what are your expectations when it's 2020 season? Once again, fellas, please God bless to you. I'm out.
Back at you, Scott. Appreciate it. Yeah, we're really within the same, like, 5-6 wins, the entire show. But yet there's an argument as how they're going to get around there. It's not just enough to get around there. It's how they're going to get around there. I still see them as being a team that could flirt with, maybe, in the most optimistic, everything goes right, 90 wins. So I really see this team being around 85 to 90 at most. That's where I see them in. I think they have improved from last year. I think the rotation has gotten one spot better with Zach Wheeler. I think their infield is upgraded. I just think they are a better team. They're not a World Series contender by any means, but they are a team that has improved, I think, since last
year. Maybe.
Maybe. You're 162-0.
Maybe.
And I'm rooting for yours.
You never know.
I'm not betting on it, Trey.
You never know how everybody can click.
But I'm rooting for it.
Me too.
Bobby has him at 500. Is that your high, 500?
No, 83. 83 is my high.
And how much are you separated, Jamie? That led to the venomous arguing?
Jamie has him at 102.
Yeah. I think they're probably about an 86-win team. I think absolute ceiling is probably 89, 90.
So why were we arguing again?
Because Bob was talking in circles.
Jamie has them significantly better.
He has them in maybe 3 more wins than you.
No, he's the one that used those
Which
words.
Which is wild card territory.
86 wins is in the your meaningful games last 2 weeks of September.
Absolutely. And that's all, I mean, really.
No, that's not all I'm asking for.
But that's what you hope for.
Right.
When you're projected
that word again.
Fourth.
That's what.
The Nationals got worse.
I love the fact that they're under the radar.
Nobody talks about that. They just lost their best player and World Series MVP.
Mm-hmm. But they got some pitching.
They do. And Juan Soto's one of the best young players in baseball. But Let's not act like they didn't just lose the MVP of the World Series. The guy was
wasn't
phenomenal.
Wasn't Strasburg the MVP of the World Series?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I thought Soto got it.
Well, I thought Rendon didn't get it? I thought it was Strasburg, Julia Rose, and then Rendon.
Julia Rose deserved it. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get me off that high horse. Mm-hmm. Tell you that much right now. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a minute, we'll jump back into the Darius Slay rumors that are out there, because this has been something that picked up some steam over the weekend, courtesy of our good friend Adam Schefter. And we'll talk about whether or not the Eagles could be kicking the tires on making a fine acquisition at the cornerback position. 610-632-0975 if you want to jump into the final segment. Time of the Fanatic is 9:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
So our good friend Adam Schefter releases over the weekend that the Detroit Lions are very much trying to work out a new deal for cornerback Darius Slay, who is a three-time Pro Bowler and an All-Pro cornerback. Meanwhile, Adam Schefter also says that other teams are convinced ain't happening, he's going to get traded. We are all in favor of the Eagles getting in on the Darius Slay cornerback sweepstakes, are we not?
With it.
Make it happen.
You have to.
You have to make it happen. If you're going to redesign your secondary, you might as well start off with a guy you could, you still have three very productive years left in him. And here's the thing. Football, it's contracts. It's not real. It's not real contract anyway. If it's a five-year deal, it's really like a three-year deal at most. Yeah, you're fine. Trey,
Yes, I do. But I played out all my contracts here.
Dude, damn right you did, because you were adorable.
Yeah.
Guy like a corner. Like, people might look at Josh Norman and be like, ooh, he fell off fast. And they're right. But Darius Slay doesn't show any signs of that. Mm-hmm. The man's still getting it done, coming off another Pro Bowl appearance. He's going to be doing just fine for quite some time, by the way. I'm all for it. I don't know what's going to cost you yet in terms of trade value and all that. You're probably looking up there. You're probably looking at least like second round pick. You know, guy's only 30 years old. So what are you thinking about? Or rather, 29. So what do you think it would take, Trey? First off, want him. But can he? Is there anybody like myself who, whenever they think about getting a corner, they immediately think about Nnamdi Asamoah and whether or not he'd work in our system? Is he just a guy that it works? Is he a plug and play type of guy?
I think he'd be a plug and play. I don't see it being like a Nnamdi type situation.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not really that concerned about it. I have no idea what it would take for them to obtain him, but I think it's someone that you can get in here to kind of help, especially because you're going to have to retool this secondary anyway. So why not get some veteran leadership instead of trying to bring some rookies in that you're going to be hoping that they could possibly show up and play?
One of the reasons I don't like the idea of getting Slay, and that's one of maybe two reasons, is just because why the hell can't we draft a corner? Like, you think about it, like, Ronald Darby was traded for. Jalen Mills was drafted in the seventh round, if I'm not mistaken. You won a Super Bowl with him, great, but he's not like somebody that jumps out to you as some kind of like shut down great corner.
Andy can do it.
Andy can draft a corner. Lito and Sheldon. Yeah, absolutely. Bob, Darius Slay, yay or nay?
Oh, definitely. No question. I'd give up, not almost anything, but I'd even hit that, ooh, did you overpay kind of scale to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right, you go to Jamie?
Yeah, I'm in. I mean, their inability to draft them makes me,
it makes you cautious.
Mm-hmm. No, well, it makes me say, go get the proven talent.
Yeah.
Because I still believe the Super Bowl window is open, so go get them.
Well, that's the great thing about having a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, we're probably modeling ourselves after the Seahawks model now. You know, when they blew up the Legion of Boom, their constant was Russell Wilson. And as long as you have Russell Wilson, you have a chance. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles have Carson Wentz. Therefore, they have a chance. So they got to improve around him.
Now, by the way, just as I mentioned it right on Twitch, first person, Darius Slay, good player on a bad team. Nnamdi Asamoah, ring any bells?
Yeah.
People are scorned. It was 9 years ago. And people are still scorned. 9 free agencies.
The difference is Nnamdi didn't get thrown at when he was in Oakland.
Right.
Darius Slay gets thrown at.
Yeah, he gets challenged.
And he puts him on the table.
Darius, here's the thing. There you go.
That was a lame attempt because I had a pen in my hand, but I tried to put them on the table.
One sounded bigger than the other. Let's just say that.
One might be.
Sam, go ahead. Let's put a bow on our Twitter poll, please, for the day. What did it look like today?
Today we have the Phillies offseason blank improved the team, and we have three options. Hasn't improved the team, mildly improved the team, and drastically improved the team. We had under 1,000 votes today. 82% say mildly improved the team.
82 mildly. So that's a team that's going to win around 85 games, 86 games, not the 83. So far apart. Sam, who brings us that fine Twitter poll?
Window Nation, take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment and no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
And the 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in the bag, get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is I cut my sandwiches different than you guys, but I do have somebody that cuts it the same way, and that is Katie Nolan, and that is all that matters.
So wait, you cut it corner to corner?
No, I thought you guys cut it corner to corner, and then they don't cut it, and then I cut it from top to bottom right down the middle.
Oh, okay.
So I'm different from you guys, yes. But me and Katie Nolan share the same preference.
My best friend, Katie Nolan. Jerry Lynch?
My takeaway from the day is, Bob, I love arguing baseball with you, buddy. My takeaway of the day is, I hope the Phillies care about five games, a difference of five games, as much as me and Jamie argue about
really.
It.
That was
because
heated.
Because basically that's all there is, but I hope they care enough. Playoffs and not playoffs, buddy. Five games is a lot.
Yep, that's true. Trey?
Hey, man, John lives the life. I mean, you know, just traveling around.
Yeah.
Oh, John Clark lives
John
the life.
John Clark just lives the life, man.
Super Bowl to Miami to Costa Rica to Clearwater.
Lives the life. Good job.
He needs to cover an event in, like, Siberia next week.
Ah, man, keep him going.
My takeaway of the day, folks, is that people in the national media are rooting for the demise of the Philadelphia 76ers. When you see that, when you hear it, call them out. Because we were stabbed in the back by one of our own, Charles Barkley, ladies and gentlemen. I will not stand for it.
It's oh, cheapers
here in Philadelphia. Stay tuned for Andrew Salchunas in for Anthony today.
Yes, I'm going to be in with him until noon.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Anthony's out sick.
Anthony's out today, but still stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.